Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live once again. We're doing it, y'all. We just want to thank you for joining us. Continue to be who you're born to be. We're talking about the power of inspiring black woman today. Let's get started. Oh yeah. Better love. Better love. Oh yeah. Better love. There is no better love. I tell you, there's no better love than for self and kind. And here at the NAAEA, our mission is to do that. To develop love for ourselves, to do the work of working on ourselves, to ensure that the mission is carried out. And I'll get to the mission of that. The mission of the NAAEA, which is the National African American Empowerment Association, is to ensure that the needs of the African American communities are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our community. That's you. To do the work of working on ourselves, we have to be able to have the mission and the agenda. And I will go through that mission and agenda very swiftly. One is a political agenda. We have to have a political agenda. We have to have politics and understand how the political system works in this country. Two is economics. We have to have an economic theory and an economic policy and an economic platform. A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. We have to be able to take care of ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally. You have to be able to take care of your mind, your health, and your body. Next is C. Culture. We have to have relevant cultural programs that do the work of shaping our people, right? Our people have to be shaped and molded back into the greatness that we once were and still are. We have made tremendous strides, and so we will continue to do that as we go along. And next, it is education, and that's a comprehensive education, right? That education is being able to know who we are and to be our best. That is to thrive and flourish, to be able to thrive and flourish. And it's up to us to do that. So we have to continue to do that. So today it's Women's History Month as we continue that series. And what we're going to do today is talk about the power and the value of the black woman. And I'm inviting you sisters to call in today, along with your brothers, right? We need you to chime in. We need your voice today. Can't be all men today. I'm sorry. I know the brothers going to join us. We're also going to have Sister Dani Green come and talk about the Women's Business Center of Richmond and how you can learn more about that, right? We want to be able to educate our people, and it's very important to understand that the Women's Business Center is about economic empowerment for our people. So we'll talk to Sister Dani Green in just a few minutes. But first, let's slide on over to Brother George for our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. I told y'all we're doing Kwanzaa 365. Brother George, hey, how you doing, brother?
Good
welcome to the show.
Brother.
Hey.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And I appreciate
You're welcome.
The invitation every time that you extend it. Today, I wanted to not only speak on Willie Lynch and the Kwanzaa principle of the day, but I wanted to do two things. I wanted to speak on something scientific about our women and also cultural. So I'm going to start out with the Kwanzaa principle for this week, which is Kuumba, creativity. To always do as much as we can in the way we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And hopefully this will connect up with our black women's contributions to the civilized world. Today I'm going to speak about Christine Darden, and I'm getting this from a book that was edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertum McCall, Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern. Christine Darden is an aerospace engineer in the High-Speed Aerodynamics Division at Nassau's Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia. Before coming to Langley in 1967, she was a mathematics instructor at Virginia State College, which is called Virginia State University today, and did aerosol physics research. She received her Master's of Science degree in mathematics at the same college and is now doing her doctoral department of mechanical engineering in the School of Engineering and Applied Science at George Washington University. Now, you know that this is talking about in the past. This book was written a long time ago. She is the leading NASA researcher in scientific and supersonic and hypersonic aircraft with expertise in the area of reducing the sonic boom. She has designed wind tunnel models of airplanes with which to stimulate the supersonic flight and is working on the modification of planes to see whether she can alter the effects of the sonic boom. Now, the reason why I spoke about her is because at one time we had a jet that would fly across the Atlantic in half the time of the jets today. And what she was able to do to make that jet practical was she was able to shrink the sonic boom. They couldn't get rid of it completely, but she was able to shrink it to the point where they could use it for flight. And so that was really a great accomplishment for the scientific and high-speed travel industry at the time. Now, for some reason, they took the line in 2003. Whether or not they'll bring it back, I don't know. But Christine Darden, that was a great accomplishment. Now, the second part of what I'm going to do is I want to talk about something cultural. And this is from a book called Her Story, Female Rites of Passage by Mary C. Lewis. And this is on mothers and daughters. The relationship between an African-American mother and her adolescent daughter carries with it a challenge. From the mother's point of view, she feels a responsibility to encourage great maturity at a relatively fast rate. Thus the saying, raising daughters but loving sons, is at the core of her attention. Meanwhile, her adolescent woman child may receive this challenge with mixed emotions. On the one hand, she may certainly desire independence from the confines of her home and the control her parents have over her life. But she may also be aware of a tough struggle required of living on her own. In addition, she may understandably resent the different treatment and attitude her mother shows towards her versus any male siblings she may have. Why should I be the one to carry domestic responsibilities, she may demand to know. Why is the load on me if women are supposed to be equal to men? In spite of any resentment she may feel, she may need her mother's advice and support regarding some tough survival-based issues such as employment, job or pay discrimination, child care, gang crimes, and rape. What is the status of today's black mother-daughter relationship? I will begin to answer the question first by representing some situations in which black mothers and daughters deal with on a daily basis. It has been in the arena of the home that black mothers have focused to shape an alternative force within their daughters. In this environment, a black woman can actively fight racism and sexism. She can show she is a good woman by being an understanding one. She can demonstrate her toughness by exercising discipline about homework, about housework and homework. And she can relax enough to be an example of a good-natured attitude, can refresh what may otherwise be gloomy conditions. In the space of her home, a black woman has often been effective activist. Now, you know, I say all that to say that what black women try to do with their daughters is they may feel like they have to be a little firmer with their daughters, and they raise their daughters quicker than they do their sons. But in the end, it's like the mother and daughter relationship can be a comforting one when she really realizes what life is about. And I think that's a beautiful relationship between our females. And, brother, thank you very much for allowing me to do that. I know I took a little bit of extra time today, but, you know, it's back to you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. And, again, it's education, right? And we can take time out for education because the knowledge is power. The more we know, the better off we are. So here's my first clip, and then after our clip, we're going to Sister Danny.
Escaping slavery, risking everything to save her family, leading a military raid, championing the cause of women's suffrage. These are just a handful of the accomplishments of one of America's most courageous heroes. Harriet Tubman was born Araminta Ross in Dorchester County, Maryland, in the early 1820s. Born into chattel slavery, Araminta, or Minty, was the fifth of nine children. Two of Minty's older sisters were sold to a chain gang. Even as a small child, Minty was hired out to different owners who subjected her to whippings and punishment. Young Minty's life changed forever on an errand to a neighborhood store. There, an overseer threw a 2-pound weight at a fugitive enslaved person, missed, and struck Minty instead. Her injury caused her to experience sleeping spells, which we know of today as narcolepsy, for the rest of her life. Minty's owner tried to sell her, but there were no buyers for an enslaved person who fell into sleeping spells. She was instead put to work with her father, Ben Ross, who taught her how to lumber. Lumbering increased Minty's physical strength and put her in touch with free black sailors who shipped the wood to the north. From them, Minty learned about the secret communications that occurred along trade routes, information that would prove invaluable later in her life. In this mixed atmosphere of free and enslaved blacks working side by side, Minty met John Tubman, a free black man she married in 1844. After marriage, she renamed herself Harriet after her mother. Harriet Tubman's owner died in 1849. When his widow planned to sell off her enslaved human beings, Harriet feared she would be sold away from everyone she loved. She had heard of an underground railroad, a secret network of safe houses, boat captains, and wagon drivers willing to harbor fugitive enslaved people on their way north. So Tubman fled with two of her brothers, Ben and Harry. They eventually turned back, fearing they were lost. But in one of her sleeping spells, Harriet dreamed that she could fly like a bird. Looking down below, she saw the path to liberation, and in the autumn of 1849, she set out on her own, following the North Star to Pennsylvania and to freedom. Tubman returned to the South 13 times to free her niece, brothers, parents, and many others. She earned the nickname Black Moses and worked diligently with fellow abolitionists to help enslaved people escape, first to the North and later to Canada. Harriet Tubman worked as a Union Army nurse, scout, and spy during the Civil War. In 1863, she became the first woman in United States history to plan and lead a military raid, liberating nearly 700 enslaved persons in South Carolina. After the war, the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution legally abolished slavery, while the 14th expanded citizenship and the 15th gave voting rights to formerly enslaved black men. But she was undaunted and she persisted. She raised funds for formerly enslaved persons and helped build schools and a hospital on their behalf. In 1888, Tubman became more active in the fight for women's right to vote. In 1896, she appeared at the founding convention of the National Association of Colored Women in Washington, D.C., and later at a women's suffrage meeting in Rochester, New York. There she told the audience, "I was a conductor on the Underground Railroad, and I can say what many others cannot. I never ran my train off the track, and I never lost a passenger." As her fame grew, various friends and allies helped her in the fight to collect a veteran's pension for her service in the Union Army. In 1899, she was finally granted $20 a month. In a fitting twist of fate, the United States Treasury announced in 2016 that Tubman's image will appear on a redesigned $20 bill. Harriet Tubman died on March.
She is the power. That's our late great Harriet Tubman. She is the power and the value of our black women. Let's celebrate Harriet Tubman along with the rest of our sisters. Also, I want to thank you guys for supporting the project that our young women came on last week and shared. You guys boosted and helped them to reach their goals. So we say thank you for that. Now, without further delay, turning it over to Sister Dani. Sister Dani, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon,
hey.
My brothers and my sisters.
How are you?
Blessed and highly favored. I cannot complain. I'm excited to be with you today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Welcome to the show. So we want to talk about the Women's Business Center of Richmond. What's your role? What are the opportunities that our people can find, particularly women? And just tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
So let me just be clear. The Women's Business Center of Richmond is located at the historic Virginia Union University.
All right.
There are approximately 136 women's business centers around the United States of America that are partially funded by the Small Business Administration. Although our emphasis is on women entrepreneurs, aspiring, existing, and those who are expanding, we serve the business interests, entrepreneurial interests of all underserved and financially or economically challenged entrepreneurs. And our goal is to provide technical assistance. The services include credit counseling, loan application preparation. We help you through the ideation, like what are your business aspirations? What is it that you do well? What is it that you want to own? And through the formation, what structure should you have? Should you be an LLC, a LLP, a S corporation? And then when you look to expand, some people have taken their side hustle during this time that we are in this pandemic, and it's become their primary source of income. So how do you do that? Do it well, not just form a business, but we want you to sustain a business, not just sustain the business, but we want you to thrive. And so we're there to be the most comprehensive and economical resource for entrepreneurs in the greater Richmond area.
I like that. So how can someone get in touch with you? You got a lot of great offerings. What's the route? What's the method that they can get in touch with you to get started?
Well, I am the executive director of the center. We have some pretty phenomenal business counselors and business advisors that are just waiting for anyone, those who hear my voice. Even if you're in another state or another city, we can connect you with other business centers that can support you. The first thing is to know that for us, all of our socials are the WBC Richmond, whether we are on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Our website to register as a client and to schedule a counseling session, you would go to thewbcrichmond.org. And right on that page, you can click through and put in your information, and we will reach out and touch you.
All right. That's Dr. Dani Green. That's thewbcrichmond.org. Any last words before we get back into the show?
That's all. Thank you for this opportunity. We're looking
forward to your
callers in to help us. All right.
All right. Thank you, sister. All right. That's the Women's Business Center of Richmond. If you're interested in business or just getting some information, right, the resources are there. Again, you have to understand how to plug into the system, because if you learn how the system works, you will be effective. All right. Guess what, people? We're going to talk about today the power and the value of the black woman. And again, this sister Dani Green that we just talked about, she's one of those power pack people who can just do it, right? And so the power of our women goes in so many directions. She is the world's first computer. She is the mother of civilization. She is the backbone to our community. She is our first teacher. She carries us. She is the seed bearer. Man, our women are so powerful. And I'm not going to talk today about what our women specifically had to endure in slavery. But I want to really speak to the power that our women have within them to endure the challenges and the struggle of being a wife and a mother, a sister, and a friend, and having to carry the load and do all of it, right? And as we continue to work back, because we have to work back because we've been divided, how can we continue to bring this thing back where we find balance again in our relationships? I'm going to go to my last clip, and then I'm going to the lines. Hang on, people. This one is good.
The Candaces of Kush. When we study history and great people who contributed to our world, our women warriors and rulers are often overlooked. From the 3rd century BCE to the 2nd century CE, the Empire of Kush is ruled by a line of independent female rulers called the Candaces, or in their traditional language of Kush, Kentucky. Amenirad, Amenishakete, Nawidma, Amalekwebar were 4 queens well known as Candaces. Different from their Egyptian counterparts, the Candaces had absolute rule instead of the power coming from their husbands. During the period known as the Meroitic period, Kush thrived, and it was often thought of as a nation never ruled by a male. The word Kentucky means queen mother, so the title was not taken lightly. If a woman was a Candace, she was able to influence the line of succession and consolidate her power. The Candace often played a role in the coronation of a new king. The Candaces are well known for refusing Alexander's entry into Kush and deterring him on one of his military campaigns, causing him to overtake a weaker Egypt. The strength of the Candace rulers also appeared in history, as they were able to thwart the Roman conquest of Kush. Using brilliant battle tactics, Amenirath attacked Petronius during Rome's punitive invasions of Napata. They waited until most of his troops were gone off the battle, then Amenirath attacked the army. When Petronius returned, he found his mighty army in a standoff with a nation they considered weaker. The standoff lasted until Augustus Caesar and the Amenirath were able to settle on signing a peace treaty. Over a period of 1,250 years, the kingdom of Kush was amazing and certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, civilization of all its time. The title of Candace lasted for 500 years, allowing Kush to become the great civilization it was under female rule. The Candaces set a standard for excellence and stability. A female-dominated society with a female warrior class is not talked about much in the pages of history, especially a purely African civilization. The Candaces were brave, brilliant, and influential. They were an example of how a strong spirit would not be held back by sexism and male domination. Women, no matter their race or creed, can learn a lot from the Candaces, women who successfully ruled the kingdom and inspired Egyptian culture and prestige. To all of the Candaces and all of the female rulers of Kush, thank you for your brilliance and courage, which helped create greatness in the form of a kingdom. These women are an example of greatness of the female spirit. To all of the Candaces, we proudly stand on your shoulders. To learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants.
All right, there it is. We're standing on the shoulders of giants. We're talking about our queens today. We're talking about the woman, the premier woman. So I want to take you back before I go to the lines. If you go back, if you look at your mother, and I want to thank Sister Lisa for this, Pastor Lisa for this. If you go back in your mind to your mother and then your grandmother and then your great-grandmother and your great-great-grandmother. Just go back with me for a minute and keep going back as far as you can go back. What you're going to go back to is the beginning, the first mother. That is the seed that we all come from. She is our queen. She is our queen mother. And from her, we all expand out. So we thank you, Queen Mother, for allowing us to be here today. Let's celebrate her and the rest of our sisters. I'm going to the lines. I'm going to the lines. Y'all ready? Here we go. First up, 9282, you're at the top of the day. What you got today, brother? I know your number. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
what
brother.
What you got, brother?
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, my
brother. As you were just talking about going back to your mother, as we honor our sisters today, and I don't use the term queen and anymore. I use the term goddess because we were kings and queens. No, we were gods and goddesses. And
I like that.
When I look back at my life as a black man, if I had to identify, and I don't want to have to separate my love, but if I had to separate my love, and as all black men, if we separate our love, what person did you love the most or have you loved the most in your life? And that's my mother. You know, that's mom. That is no greater love than what you have for mom, you know. You know, normally that's how it is. But I do want to add, we got to beware, too, though, of the trick or tricks that are played on us. Because when we talk about Black History Month, that's Black Women History Month. Women history, I mean, there's no separation. But our enemy used our unity and the fear of our unity to divide us even more during the civil rights movement, you know, back in the day in the 50s and the 60s, the civil rights movement when black folks were appearing to really be united as a people and coming together and marching and demanding things, standing together as one. Right on the heels of that, after they had to pass the legislation in the 63, the civil rights movement, and so forth, then right on the heels of that, okay, after you got Black History Month, now we come up, they come up and create Women's History Month. Well, they use that to divide us because what happened? They pulled our women away even further now to unify with the white women to say, now you unify, you're celebrating Women's History Month. Well, Black History Month didn't talk about just the men. Black History Month, as any history day, should talk about all of us. When we say Black History, it's this, all of us, the king, the goddess, the queen, the goddess and the gods, that's us, one history. They use that to separate us and divide us. And you think about it, on the history of, on the heels of us coming out of the civil rights movement, Black History Month, which was a week before it became a month, came the women's movement. Then came the gay rights movement. Then came and became, it was kind of like belittling it all. You know, a little bit. Yeah, we had to give you Black History Month, but now we got with Women History Month. Now we give you Gay Rights Month. Now we give you this right month. Now we give you this right month. And it's all. And who doesn't have a month? The white man, because he doesn't need a month. He's telling every day is his history day, and he's telling us all the other groups their history, and giving us a little time to recognize our history. Well, he's controlling all of this, you know. Where the white man history month is, the white male history month. Well, you learn it every day in school. You learn it every day everywhere we go, so where you learning his story. But he's using these things. We got to just be careful how he's dividing us, because that was the key to all this, is division, and divide us as a people and put us against. Our women not separated from us. Their greatness is not outside of us, and ours is not outside of them. When we talk about greatness, we talk about black people. Our greatness, my woman is great as I am. I'm as great as she is because we gods and goddesses. We don't
like
separate
that.
You don't need to make no distinction between that. And then finally, I'm going to let you grab this, brother. I'm going to say look out for this one. I'm about ready to get me a lawyer to file a class action lawsuit against the government of the United States on behalf of all black people in this country demanding mental disability payments.
Wow. Don't tell everybody. Listen, y'all didn't hear that. You just go do what you got to do. Don't finish that. Finish your statement. I can't hold on to that one right there. You just go ahead and finish everything other than that and go do what you got to do. Don't put that out there. But y'all didn't hear that. Keep going, brother, and we're going to – I'll get back to you. Lord.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Goodness gracious. Thank you. Hey, y'all, put your fingers in your ear on that one. I want y'all to erase that from your memory. All right. Thank you so much. We're talking about our goddesses today. We're talking about our queens, our people, the birth of a nation. The real birth of a nation. We're talking about our women. And again, if you're listening, I want you to chime in. And this is for our women, right? The backbone of what we got going on here, right, is, again, our women. Nothing we do can be successful, can be without them. So as black men, I have to put my hat and move to the side and honor you today and every day. It's 365 days of honoring our women, treating them with respect and kindness and decency and honoring them. And as we continue to honor you every day from now on and get us back to our rightful place, we have to do just this one thing. I'm going to let my brother Stan share this with you.
But we must unify. And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
All right. There you have it. This is Brother Stan telling us what we need to do. I'm going over. I got to get my music right first. I'm going over to 2258. Are you ready? 2258. It's your turn. What you got?
Bring it. What?
What? 2258. It's Marvin Rome. 2258. Are you talking today? All right. I'm going to move on down. I'm going back to 4692. 4692. Are you there? Four, six, nine, two. Are you with me? All right.
I'm right here.
All right. Hey, sister.
Hello.
All right. We're talking about the power and the value of our sisters, our women, right? What you got?
Well, I mean, again, I guess I go back to a frame of reference that says that we were meant to be together, right? And that's it, meaning God made man for woman. And I believe that we are stronger as a unit. But the role and the uniqueness is also in the metaphorical. Women deliver babies. We together we make babies. But when we look at the seed that is sown and we give birth to that harvest, we have a heavy hand and a capability in shaping the future. And so I think that you can't ignore one without the other. I think it takes us both. But moreover, I think that the role that we play in shaping the future of this world is essential. And the black woman, not only did we raise our babies, but we raised their babies. And so they say that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And it's time for us to not only be restored to where we ought to be, but we've got to take our place and not be subservient to anyone, but to do what has been placed on us, the call that is placed on our life to have an impact that positively impacts our community and all of those that we come in contact. We are, the present that we're in is not bigger than the promise. We need to start operating in the promise.
I like that, sister. I like that a whole lot. It's up to us now to step forward, right? It's there. All we have to do is step into our rightful place. I thank you, sister. I'm going to try to swing back around to you. I appreciate your comments. And again, a plug, WTHEWBCRichmond.org. Go out there. We got business interests that we need to take care of. That's my sister, Danny. You better go over there and get that information so we can be effective at creating businesses in our community. And guess what? Our sisters know how to run some stuff. All right. I'm going over to 8128. 8128 is the Empowerment Hour. Guess who it is? It's Marvin Rome and my brother, Stan Macklin. Come on. What you got, brother? Uh-huh. 28.
You there? How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing
yes,
great
I am.
Today. How are you? All right. Thank you. What you got, brother?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm listening to the brother speak and about her organization. And it brings me back to one of my black study courses where I ran across a little information on one of our great black women of the past. And I don't know how many people know about her, but her name is Ida B. Wells Barnett.
All right.
I know people may have heard the name, but this woman was phenomenal.
All right.
In the sense that this woman was a journalist. She was a political activist. She actually was responsible for lynching being stopped in, I think, 3 southern states by her article. She was a journalist. She had a newspaper. She was an activist. This woman was phenomenal. And she was actually born during slavery. But she rose to such a high degree. She's one of the founders of the NAACP. And she traveled to Europe and protested against the treatment of black people in the South. And she actually stopped them from lynching black people in those states on economic terms, because she was hitting them in terms of the export of different products from the country that were coming from the places where they were lynching. So she publicized things. She went and she was, you know, she did select articles. She was nationally published in newspapers, and she even had her own newspaper. So I'm saying that to say that, and what I ran across in one of my black studies courses and books was just a little blurb on her. So I did research on it and wound up doing a presentation based on her, because the woman is phenomenal. But what I'm saying that to say is that I think that, and I'm speaking for myself as a black man, that if we read more and knew more about the fact of the history, the strong history of the support of our women, you know, I think that a lot of what we see today of not truly recognizing what black women have endured, what black women represent, what black women support in their men. I mean, it is an equal partnership with in the family. And,
you got that right.
And in Africa, women, like you, the brother gave the presentation on the civilizations, one of the greatest in history, ruled by women. Women played roles that were so significant, and plays the first role to men when they to all the children. So she is the information source, the educator, the provider, the nurturer. You know, I'm telling you, you know, how can you not honor her? How can you not honor your woman? You know, your women, period. And even in today's society, our women who are the ones who do rise into high positions are usually the most stressed. I mean, it's documented that our black women suffer from more ailments and physical responses to the stresses that they endure
in this society. And I think that being more conscious of all those things that our women are subject to, and are the, just the role of our women, period, in reality, and what they do and support us in, is something that I think would change a lot of male views of how they see our women. And that is something that is so important for us, for us to be able to become partners again in this journey that we're on. Okay? Because without that, we will never be able to do it. We can't do it. It's not possible for us to do what we need to do in terms of us reunifying us as a black cultural community that's one. With all our differences, we still are one. And the woman is key to that because she's raising that child, and she's the one who is really has the insight, okay, and the counsel for her man or for men, period. Because usually her view of it is usually something that is totally unique in what she is because of her caring and nurturing and for her role, especially for our best. So I'm saying that to say that, I mean, I'm always amazed when I read something about, you know, our women from the past and in the present. And I know that we do need to pay more attention to that. And like the brother said, when you honor Black history, you honor all of us. And you have to include our women because they were so prominent yet uncelebrated. So we really need to pay attention, okay? And we cannot pay attention to our culture unless we pay attention to our women.
All right. Mm-hmm. I like that, brother. Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you. Hey, here's the deal. A lot has happened to us in this society, right? And we have to understand the effects, right, and the ramifications of our experience. How has it impacted the female that she has had to be adaptive to the experience here? How has it impacted the black male and the male-female relationship? And we're going to talk about that next week, right? But today we're going to celebrate. We're going to continue to celebrate. My brother brought up Ida B. Wells as a giant. We have so many things to celebrate with our women, and we can't get flooded or convoluted with other things. Let's focus on our women. Let's focus on our greatness. All right, 9560. We doing it. It's your turn. Come on. Celebrating our women today. 9560, what you got? It's Marvin Rome.
Hi, everybody. I think today is a great day to celebrate women, right? Every day is a great day to celebrate women. I think with Her Story Month, it's important that we find out the true story behind the woman's smile or her eyes. Because it tells a lot. It tells their journey. Sometimes we can see from the outside and think we have it figured out. But the great thing about women is that we don't show all of our cards at the same time. Just want to celebrate, you know, pioneers in our culture, but also within our generation. You know, sometimes they had to do what they had to. And so sometimes we look at it as women being silent. But they just didn't have time to stop and complain about it, you know, in slavery days when they were taken from their families or exposed or used how people saw fit. They didn't really have power in that, but they knew they was going to get through it. So I think it's just a testament to us being resilient and being able to push through things that we do not understand, but continuing to fight, you know, behind the scenes and even in the big house or the White House, figuratively. Also still managing things that people didn't see, but kind of silent warriors. So they had to fight their fight a little differently. So we celebrate all women.
I like that, sister. I like that. We have to be the one to celebrate ourselves. No more waiting around for other people to say, well, this is your day and this is your moment. This is our moment, and we're going to celebrate our women and ourselves and our families 365 days of the year. And that's how we should do it, right? The impact have to be made with us. It is up to us now. And so many wonderful comments have come out today. I really want the sisters to say, hey, this is what I think, this is what I feel, because it is you all. You're the birth, right? You're the birth canal. You're the seed bearer. You're the way through. The way has always been made and supported by our sisters. And we're going to continue to celebrate you as we continue to work our way out of the hole that been created for us by this system and this society. And we ain't blaming nobody no more. Those days are over. But I will say, we have to have an agenda, and we have to be able to work together. Like my brother say, we have to work together to make things happen. I'm going over to Brother George. Brother George, what you got?
Yes, sir. I guess you put me on the spot.
You always on
well,
the spot, brother.
Brother.
You always in the light.
Yes, sir. You ain't put me on with Mad Dog.
Wait. Hold on a second. I got you, brother. I got you. We're going over to Brother George, 4358, Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Bring it. What?
Brother George, what you got?
Yes, sir. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, brother, I really, you know, we're in a time where we really need for us to rethink our position. You know, our women, I don't know if it will take how many apologies that it will take, but we have to forgive each other for what happened in the past and come together and start working together, because we can't go nowhere without our women. I mean, it's the way it's meant to be, you know, and we're not going to go anywhere without our women. And so until we are able to patch that relationship and make it workable again and begin to forget about some of the things, and not forget about it, but forgive each other for a lot of the dysfunctional things that have happened in the past, you know, because we need to move forward. I oftentimes speak to my team, and you know who my team is.
Yeah.
And I tell them, you know, that where does it end? You know, like if you keep on getting revenge, you know, it's like how many of our young people need to be killed? How many babies need to die because there's a pistol in the house or an automatic weapon in the house, and it ends up killing, you know, a baby because it was misused. I mean, when does it end? And they said, like, the other day said, it doesn't. I said, no, it can. It will end when someone says, I'm not going to get revenge. You know, that's enough. It's enough. Enough is enough. I'm not going back and kill another one of them over across town. You know, I'm going to forgive my man, and I'm going to do all I can to be the powerful black goddess that I am. You see, I'm not going to be a negress anymore. I'm going to be a goddess. And I'm going to act like a goddess. I'm going to use what the Creator gave me, the ability to do right or do wrong. And I'm going to choose to discipline myself and control myself, and I'm going to do right. And I'm going to do right by my people. And I'm going to live by that. And I'm going to do right by my sons, by my grandfathers. And I'm going to do right by my grandmothers and my mothers and my daughters. And we're going to get ourselves back together. But we got to start forgiving each other for what happened in the past, brother. And, you know, I mean, I know the great contributions that black women have made to the world. I know it. I mean, I've been studying it all of my adult life. But that's not the issue right now. The issue right now is we have a spiritual problem. Like a brother once, was lecturing on a DVD called The Science of Man. He said we have a spiritual problem, and we do. And we need to start forgiving each other for what happened in the past. Quit focusing on it, move forward, and celebrate our women, pull ourselves back together, because once we do that, the whole impact of that is going to filter right into our children. It's going to filter right back into our society and all of the things that the principles of Kwanzaa stand for. We can begin to reassemble, and we can reassemble ourselves into that giant that we once were, you know? And so that's what, you know, that's what I got to say today, brother. And thank you for allowing
me to
do that.
I like that, Brother George. I like that, Brother George. Here, see how you just step in the light? You roll. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. So what is the value, and how can we continue to develop and preserve our women and our relationships in this modern era? So the woman, again, is a seed bearer, and we're chopping down our own seeds now. We're destroying the seed bearer along with her children. We're killing our people in the streets. We're going to have to do something about it. So my question is, how important are the women, our women today? And I'm not putting it on your shoulders because you got enough on there. But how important are these queens, are these champions to turning things around? I'm going over to 9282. I'm going to get my music together. George told me to bring it in, so I got to bring it in right. 9282, you coming up next on the Empowerment Network. Bring it. Bring it.
All right, man.
And don't tell nobody about that other thing either.
Well, I just want to say, piggybacking on Brother George. Brother George just said, I put it like this. How can we hate that nigga, but not hate the man or people who made him a nigga?
Huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
What?
How you gonna hate
yeah.
that nigga? How you gonna hate that nigga? Because that nigga took my brother's life and took my sister's life and took my... The nigga did this thing. How you gonna hate the nigga without hating the man or the people that made him a nigga? That's
right,
where
now.
Your anger needs to be directed. You know, yeah, he y'all to make... That's why I said mentally, we are mentally disabled. And I'll explain that to you later. Take it back to the plantation. The job of the plantation was to create niggas and make them mentally disabled.
I've been listening to that one.
And our problem, yes, it's a spiritual problem, but spiritual problem is a mental problem. Because your mind is your spirit. That's your spirit. It's your mind. And yes, we have a spiritual problem. Because we have a mental problem. And I'm serious when I said, brother, I'm looking for a lawyer so I can file this class action lawsuit. Because we are mentally disabled. Created. I mean, that was the function of slavery, when you understand it. Mentally disabled. And the definition of definition of developmental disability. Any various conditions that usually become apparent during infancy or childhood and are marked by delayed development or functional limitation, especially in learning, language, communication, cognition, behavior, socialization, or mobility, to make ineffective or inoperative, to impair physically or mentally, to deprive of legal right, qualification,
wow.
or capacity. Okay, to impair physically or mentally. These are the definitions of these things. Created in slavery. This is what they did. They should be paying us because we are mentally disabled.
Some of y'all
you
might
know?
Not like that, but he's right on. A lot of us are really damaged. And we're going to have to
yeah,
look at
all
that.
Of us. All of us, including myself. All of us have been damaged. We're damaged on the, that was the,
work.
The plantation. You know? That was the function. So I'm going to call you to sign on, brother.
All right. I got it. All right. Don't you say nothing else. Don't say
nothing
else. Keep the rest of us there. All right, brother. All right. Here we go. Thank you so much. Hey, we got to acknowledge, right, the pain that we're suffering through in many aspects, right, and how that it can be damaging to our relationships, right? But we still find some way to thrive. We found some way to survive. We found some way to continue to move forward and find success in that, in spite of our dysfunction. Guess what I'm going to do now? I'm going over to 0946, and we're going to probably wrap it up with this. I may be able to get one more in. 0946, guess what? Oh, yeah. It's your time. Oh, now,
yes,
46, are you there?
Good afternoon, and I just want to say this as an older black woman, and it goes, tired of the system, policies, and procedures that entrap my black sons for any reason. Daughters got to understand the role we play in this highly organized racist game. Got to be healed of post-traumatic slave syndrome, treated like we were nothing, thought our men were not strong. It's the white man's intimidation of my black son's dominant presentation. White boy's narcissistic complex. He uses weapons and guns to flex. Take away the white man's gun, and from my black son, white boy will run. My son is strong from the top to the bottom of his toes. We black women know our men are not boys. So I'm talking to my daughters. We got to understand the role that we play in this highly sophisticated, organized, racist game. Out.
I think you dropped the mic on that one, sister. Just dropped it. All right. Thank you, sister.
You're
wow.
Welcome.
What else can I say? This thing is, you know, again, as we continue to celebrate ourselves, it forces us to have to look at some things, right? And as we continue to rebuild ourselves and rebuild our community, and that's what African-American empowerment is all about, people. It's about empowering ourselves. We're going to have to look at our differences. We're going to have to look at our hurts, our pains. We're going to have to look at our issues. We're going to have to look at ourselves and be honest about who we are, what state that we're in, and how we're going to continue to work through every situation, right? Finding ways that we continue to grow and develop our communities, to pour back into our children, to give them excellent schools, not just a school to go to, but an excellent one, and give them opportunities for success. How can we then engage with the broader communities and other levels of society to be able to bring resources, time, and talent into our community? Last round, I'm going to 4692 for the last round. I got 2 minutes. 4692, you there?
I am here. Thank you for an awesome show. I want to thank you as a brother trying to lift up a sister, and as a sister who shared such an awesome expression in words, as we have come to say, straightening another sister's crown. I appreciate that. I just want to encourage us all. This effort that we're in, as we establish our freedom for us, by us, we ought to be reminded that economic asset attainment is the key to neutralizing some of the things that come at us. And when we as a community can stand in our own, using our services and our products to lift us up and making our dollars circulate a little bit faster in our community, that's what the Women's Business Center Richmond is about. There are opportunities out here, and we need to be educated not on how to get the money, but how to make the money, how to keep the money, how to make it circulate and work for all of us. There is an education that is to be had, and we have got to commit to doing this work. Thank you so much.
Now you talking. Now you talking. That's it. Thank you, sister. Hey, you can't beat that. Let's do the work. Let's continue to do the work. We again, thank you for joining us, right? Send this to a friend. Have a conversation about this program, right? Go back and listen to it once again as we continue to do the work of working on ourselves and do the healing, to do those things, the economic agenda that we need to have to secure ourselves. Let's do the work and make this what we consider to be an impossible dream possible. Join us, www.theempowerment.weebly.com. naaea.weebly.com. We're going to start our membership drive because we need you to continue to do the work as we could collectively work together to do what we need to do to get back to our rightful place on this planet. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. And remember, love yourself. There's no greater love than love for self. Peace and blessings.
The unrightable wrong to love, pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peace and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness you're sure to find,
and the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still strong.